إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Verily the praise belongs to Allah. We praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness, and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray, and whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that there is nothing that deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that He has no partners or associates, and I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His servant and His messenger. This morning, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, we'd like to just read a few questions. I don't know how many we can read, but from the questions that remain at the end of the book, there are actually 7 questions. Perhaps we'll read one or two of them. And actually, some of these questions are not really related to the topic in any way whatsoever. I will try to do is read whatever is possible with the time that we have from that which is more closely related to our topic. These questions are at the end of the lecture of Shaykh Rabi' bin Hadi al-Madkhali, which the book has been entitled At-Taqwa and Its Effects and the Characteristics of the People of Taqwa and Their Recompense. And the first question is actually a lengthy question, but it does contain, the topic is related directly to the subject of the book. So we will take this question to start with. Question number 1. The question is, there are those who reject the censure of bid'ah and innovations and the clarifying of these matters for the people and explaining the mistakes of the people of innovation and deviation. And some people who say that it is not correct, it is not right, it is not permissible, it's not proper to reprimand or to speak against innovation and the people of innovation and clarify the mistakes that they have made in their deviation on the basis that it is not from the taqwa of Allah Azza wa Jalla, and that warning against these innovations and their people is not from the taqwa of Allah. So, is this statement true? May Allah reward you with good. Some people complain that no one should warn against innovation and the people of innovation. If you have taqwa of Allah, then you shouldn't say anything against the people, no matter what they do or what they engage in. The Shaykh says, this statement is dangerous. The question itself, the basis for this statement, that to warn against innovation or deviation or corruption in the deen, to warn against the people who engage in this, that this is contrary to observing taqwa of Allah. He says this statement, this basis of this question is dangerous. And we ask Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala to help this questioner to understand the book of Allah and the sunnah of Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and to follow the guidance of this noble messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his noble companions radiyallahu anhum ajmain. The messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam warned against the people of innovation. So did he put aside the taqwa of Allah azza wa jalla? Did he go outside of taqwa by warning against the people of innovation? The messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam warned against the people of innovation, criticized them, and ordered them to be killed, some of them, certain people from amongst the people of innovation, not in general that the people of innovation should be killed. So did the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam put to one side the taqwa of Allah, in warning against the people of innovation? The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, specifically the Shaykh is referring here to the Khawarij, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam described the Khawarij and mentioned them in a hadith narrated by a number of companions in ahadith from Sahih Muslim and Sahih al-Bukhari, all of them of the highest levels of authenticity. And he said, the meaning of which, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the meaning of his statement, indeed, from the offspring of this man, there will be a people who recite the Quran, but it will not go beyond their throats. And they will go out of Islam as an arrow goes out through the game, or goes out of the game, yani the hunted animal. And they will kill the Muslims and let be the idolaters. Yani they will kill the Muslims and let the pagans pass by freely. Should the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, should I live until they appear, I would kill them like the killing of the nation of Ad. Yani he would wipe them out, destroy them completely. The Khawarij are people of innovation, but they are not disbelievers. The companions, radiallahu anhum ajma'in, carried this prophetic guidance from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And when this group appeared, about whom the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had spoken and had described in fine detail, to the extent that he said, amongst them is Dhu Athadiyah, the one who possessed breasts. So when they killed, when they were killed, yani the Khawarij, when after the death of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the companions came across these people and they killed them, Ali radiallahu anhu said to them, find him, yani find this particular man that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam described in detail that will be amongst them, find him. They said, we did not find him. So he, that is Ali radiallahu anhu, said, by Allah, I swear by Allah, I did not lie about this matter, nor was I lied to. Yani I didn't make this up, that this man would be amongst them, nor was the one who told me, yani nor did he lie to me. Yani this is a fact, this is true, and he will be present. Then Ali went looking for him until he brought him out. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had described them, yani the Khawarij, in fine detail. I say, indeed, those innovators, as the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam described them, yani he described them in this way, that they were worshippers, yani they were engrossed in worship, and they had honesty, yani they didn't used to just lie about worldly matters. It is known that the Khawarij, from among the people of innovation, are not liars, yani they are known to be the people of innovation who do not lie, yani in terms of what they know to be the truth. Yani they have deviated and they have yani gone astray, but they don't just make up lies. Now, however, the people of innovation, they lie, and their books are full of lies. And in some of their characteristics, they are worse than the Khawarij. So how can we remain silent about them? They are propagating their falsehood and misguidance in the name of Islam. And they say, Islam in our view is us, our own selves. Yani they are the representatives of Islam. And they propagate destructive deviation. Is it from sincere advice? Yani a deen, according to the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, a deen and nasiha. Yani is it from sincere advice that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has entrusted upon the Muslims, and which the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam called the deen, yani a deen and nasiha? Is this sincere advice that you see with your very eyes the false creeds and crooked deviations spread in the name of this deen, and you remain silent? Is this not that betrayal which is contrary to sincere advice? Yani part of the, yani from the essence of the deen is to be sincere to Allah and to the Messenger of Allah and the Book of Allah and the leaders of the Muslims and the common Muslims, to be sincere, yani to be truthful, to support and protect and defend this deen. Is this not that betrayal of the deen, which is contrary to sincere advice? The one who asks this question, O brothers, is poor. Yani, poor in understanding of Islam. This is born, yani his understanding or his condition is due to a serious plot to spread damaging indoctrination, destroying the youth in their creed and methodology. This question did not come out of a vacuum. It arose from a mind filled with doubts, deceptions, plots, falsehood, and corrupt methodologies. And these things have accumulated. So he starts to see the truth as falsehood and falsehood as truth. So ask Allah to guide this poor one. Ask Allah to remove this accumulation which his brain has become filled with. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala remove it from him. And that he removes from him these veils so that he sees with the eyes that the righteous predecessors used to see with respect to innovations. The books of the Salaf are filled with censure of the people of innovation and warning against them. Were they not people of taqwa? Yani, were not the Salaf people of taqwa? And yet they used to warn against the innovation and the people of innovation. And taqwa, is it so that taqwa remains a specific quality of the people of innovation and deviation, and those who defend innovation and falsehood, are these the only people who have taqwa? The one who strips the messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and strips the companions, radiallahu anhum ajma'in, and strips the pious predecessors, the Salaf al-Salih, of taqwa, strips them of taqwa, and ascribes it to the people of innovation and misguidance. Umar ibn al-Khattab, radiallahu anhu, what did he do to Sabiq ibn Asl? Umar called for him. If you compare the doubts that were being circulated upon the tongue of Sabir, it does not amount to anything. It is not equal to anything compared to the doubts being spread today. And it does not stir up anything in us. Yani, it doesn't cause us, we are not even concerned with the doubts and the innovation and corruption that is being spread today. And yet, here was a man whose, what he was spreading was far less than what we find amongst us today. And yet the Shaykh says that what the people are spreading today doesn't stir up anything in us because we are weak in Iman. Umar radiallahu anhu called him, this man, Sabiq ibn Asl, called him and beat him and put him in prison. Then he called him again and beat him and put him in prison. Then he beat him another time until Sabir said, "O chief of the believers, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, if you want to kill me, then kill me in a good way. And if you want to remove that which is in this head, then by Allah it has come out." So after that, he exiled him. And he beat him, he imprisoned him, and he exiled him. Umar radiallahu anhu did not suffice with the punishment of beating and imprisonment, but he exiled him to Iraq and ordered the people to abandon him and to boycott him. And he was a Sayyid, yani he was a chief or a leader or a master amongst his people. And yet the people abandoned him, even his own people. And if anyone wanted to sit with him, he would say, "Remember the decision of the Amir al-Mu'mineen." So then he would go back. Umar exiled him, radiallahu anhu, exiled him for a year until they made certain of the sincerity of his repentance. Then he said, "Speak to him now." Naam, this is how the people of taqwa, this is how they dealt with innovation and the innovators. As far as, yani, of course, Umar, he was the Amir al-Mu'mineen, he was the Khalifa of the Muslims, the head of the state, and he had the authority to punish. And he had the authority to punish. So beware that we do not have the authority to punish in the land of the disbelievers. We do not have the authority to punish. And we are not the head of the state. As for Ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, may Allah be pleased with both of them, then it reached him that a people, another example, it reached him that a people who were seekers of knowledge were saying, "There's no qadr, there's no divine pre-decree. And things originate without being predestined." Those were students of knowledge who had this doubt. He said, yani Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, he said, "Inform them that indeed I am free of them and they are free of me." Yani, this is the position of the people of Sunnah. that they are free. They declare themselves, we declare ourselves to be free from these people. We have nothing to do with them, and they have nothing to do with us. That doesn't mean that we shouldn't advise them. It doesn't mean that we shouldn't try to call them back to the right way. But it means that we are not on good terms and having good relations with the people who corrupt and try to destroy the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, he said, inform them, let them know that indeed I am free of them and they are free of me. And Abdul ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma swears by the one by whom one can swear. If one of them possessed the equivalent of Uhud, the mountain of Uhud in gold, and he spent it in charity, Allah would not accept it from that person until he believed in the Qadr, the divine pre-decree. And this is from the Nasiha, yani sincere advice, O brothers. When this statement from Abdul ibn Umar, may Allah be pleased with him and his father, reached them, they took account of themselves and they recanted. They changed their position, they corrected themselves. This was Ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma. He had weight and he had standing. When it reached them that Ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma renounced them, by Allah, if Allah wanted good for them, they would retract their mistake. And they used to, during that time, turn back in repentance. And another example the Shaykh gives regarding the Khawarij, who we mentioned. There are many historical narrations stating that they were 8,000, of whom 4,000 turned back in repentance. And from them are those who say that 2,000 of them, and he returned, turned back in repentance, according to the different narrations. However, according to the authentic narration in the Musannaf of Abd al-Razzaq, there were 24,000, of whom 20,000 turned back in repentance. The hearts used to be alive, and they fell into error while wanting the truth. Meaning, they did not commit the innovation that they were upon due to immorality and apostasy, as is the condition of many of the people of innovation nowadays. Meaning, people were worshippers wanting paradise. Yani, they were sincere, they were misguided, but they were sincere. And had they been advised, then they would retract their position. They went astray in their understanding of the Quran, so they fell into that which they fell into, due to misunderstanding, not due to wanting to deviate. They said, there is no judgment except for Allah. There is no judgment except for Allah. There is no judgment except for Allah. Yani meaning, they felt that the human being, yani the leader of the Muslims or the rulers, do not have a right to make judgment. Ali radiallahu anhu answered them. He said a word of truth intended by it falsehood. Yani they spoke a word of truth that has some truth for it, but what they intend by it is falsehood. Yani they misunderstood the matter. And they rebelled against him, and people followed them, so they became 24,000. Abdul ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma went to them, debating with them, and 20,000 of them returned back. 20,000 repented and turned back, retracted their position. Nowadays, you debate with the people of innovation for 2 months or 3 months, and they don't return from their falsehood. Why? Because the desires are in control of the minds of many of the people. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam recited the saying of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, yani huwa alladhi anzala alayka al-kitab minhu ayatun muhkamatun hunna umul kitab wa ukhra mutashabihat fa'amma alladhina fi qulubihim zaygun فَيَتَّبِعُونَ مَا تَشَابَهَ مِنْهُ بِتِغَاءَ الْفِتْنَةِ وَبِتِغَاءَ تَأْوِيلِهِ وَمَا يَعْلَمُ تَأْوِيلَهُ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَالرَّاسِخُونَ فِي الْعِلْمِ يَقُولُونَ آمَنَّا بِهِ كُلٌّ مِنْ عِنْدِ رَبِّنَا وَمَا يَذَّكَّرُ إِلَّا أُولُو الْأَلْبَابِ. Yani the meaning of which is, it is he who has sent down to you the book, Yani this Quran, in it are verses that are entirely clear, yani muhkamat, yani whose meaning can only be understood in one way. And they are the foundations of the book. And yani, in parenthesis, the translator has mentioned that these are like the verses of ahkam, the commandments, the fara'id, obligatory duties, and hudud, legal laws for punishment. And there are other ayat which are mutashabihat, yani others which are not entirely clear, yani ayat which could possibly be understood in more than one way. So as for those in whose hearts there is a deviation from the truth, they follow that which is not entirely clear thereof, seeking fitna and seeking for its hidden meanings. But none knows its hidden meanings except Allah. And those who are firmly grounded in knowledge say, we believe in it, the whole of it. Yani, the clear and unclear verses. All of it is from our Lord, and none receive admonition except men of understanding. This is a testimony from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala against the people of desires, that their hearts have deviated, and they are following their desires, and they pursue the matters that are not entirely clear. So they go astray and lead others astray. They have desires. They mean to lead people astray. So they look for the ayat that are not entirely clear, the sayings that are not entirely clear, the ahadith that are not entirely clear, and the speech of the people that is not entirely clear. And with this, they lead astray a group of the people. So those whom in their hearts is a deviation, yani, he's referring to the ayat. So as for those in whose hearts there is a deviation, zayr, yani deviation from the truth, they follow that which is not entirely clear, the mutashabiha. Why? Because they are seeking, yani al-fitna, ibtigha al-fitna. They are actually, in their heart, they have a desire to make fitna. The people of desire are numerous. Yani the people of this following their desires, they are numerous. From them are those who mean to lead people astray, yani who intend to tempt them and obstruct them from the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The likes of this poor one who asks this question, what has entangled him in these matters and this poor reasoning, except for corrupt information, doubts, deceptions, and misguidance? So, O brother, forgive me if I say these things. I ask Allah that He makes what you hear to be of benefit. Yani, that the advice that is being given is of benefit, that the person will listen to it and accept it and correct themselves. And I hope you take heed of these evidences and these positions. And O brother, as At-Tirmidhi says, there are many people who refute the people of Hadith, saying, why do they criticize people? He said, and so-and-so have been criticized, yani by the scholars of Sunnah. And he named people from the people of innovation, yani who have been criticized. He began by Allah with the people of innovation, yani the people of innovation who have been criticized. And he started with Ma'bad al-Juhani, and then with Jabir al-Ju'fi. Then he mentioned others who were criticized on account of their memorization, yani on account of their poor memorization. Because, he said, indeed, criticism is either with respect to people from the people of innovation or people who are suspected of being innovators or people who erred because of a deficiency in their memorization, in their memories. Yani, they narrated incorrectly due to their poor memories. And all of them were criticized. But he started first with the people who had been criticized due to their innovation. So this one, who is suspected in the matter of Allah's religion, subhanahu wa ta'ala, should not be allowed to narrate a hadith and ascribe them to the religion, or to write books and ascribe them to the religion. Ascription to Allah does not necessarily require that it be a hadith or an ayat. Rather, it could come in the form of corrupt ideas which he ascribes to Islam. And every person of innovation ascribes his deviation to Allah. He does not say to you, this is from me. Yani, he does not say to you, this is something that I have made up. He says to you, this is from the book and the sunnah. The Rafidi, the Qadiani, the extreme Sufi, all of them say this. How can we be silent about them, O brother? The groups that are present in the arena now, and we don't want to name them because many of the people, with much regret, are offended by naming. By Allah, they do not support anything other than falsehood, yani these people of deviation. How should one be silent about them, O brother? This country is the country, he's talking about Saudi Arabia, is the country of Tawheed. People came to it while its people were upon Tawheed and upon the Sunnah. Then individuals moved from the east and from the west, from here and there. All of them had religions, sects, all ascribing to Islam, calling to their ways, yani their ways of deviation. How can one remain silent about them? How can one remain silent about those? Wa alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullah. Those are the ones that have been censured from amongst the people of innovation, about whom it is said, indeed refuting them is contrary to having taqwa of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Has anyone wronged them? Or have they wronged Islam? Wronged Islam and wronged the Muslims. How can one remain silent about this wrong that strikes Islam at its core and confuses the minds of the youth of the Ummah? How can the youth be left to stray and Islam to be distorted? And if someone refutes them, it is said about him, this one violates the taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the person who asks this question is poor. He wants to confuse because he has become accustomed to confusion. They confused him and confused him. So I say, O brother, repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and follow the path of the Salaf and read the books of Jarh wa Ta'deel, censure and praise, and read the books of Aqeedah, because I fear that you have not read them. Because before you are barriers and obstacles which they place between you and the methodology of the Salaf. Books without beginning or end, and efforts without beginning or end. All of them are barriers and obstacles between you and knowledge of the truth. So break through these barriers to the methodology of the Salaf. Reflect upon the Quran. Reflect upon the Sunnah. Look at what the Salaf compiled in refutation of the people of innovation, and what the Salaf compiled in refutation of others. All of this is in sincerity towards Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, from the starting point of taqwa of Allah. Yani, due to a person having taqwa, they will defend the deen of Allah and refute and clarify the errors and deviation of the people of yani, corruption. It is due to taqwa, yani from the starting point of taqwa and sincere truthfulness. This is the deen, and by Allah, if not for the Salaf, the religion would have been lost. Yani, if not for them correcting and advising and warning against the deviation. And this is also yani, an aspect, yani, warning against the people of deviation and their deviations. This is also from jihad. And I give you glad tidings, O brothers, that the Salaf used to consider speech against the people of innovation better than striking with swords. This is what Imam Ahmed ibn Hanbal, rahimahullah, used to think. And others, likewise, used to think like this. It was said to him, a man who prays, fasts, and performs i'tikaf, a man who is a worshipper, and another man who refutes the people of innovation, which of the two is better? He answered, if he fasts, prays, and makes i'tikaf, then that is for himself. And if he speaks against the people of innovation, the people of bid'ah, then that is for the Muslims, and that is better. Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah said, so Ahmed included it, yani speaking against the people of innovation and their innovations, warning against innovation. Imam Ahmed included it in the category of jihad in the path of Allah, because this is from the furud al-kifaya, yani collective obligations on the ummah that some of the people must fulfill. And if not, if it is not fulfilled by at least some of the Muslims, then all become responsible and sinful. This is from the furud al-kifaya, collective obligations. And the ummah has collectively agreed about warning against the people of innovation. Agreed without any differing, yani there's no difference of opinion about this, that it is correct to warn against innovation and the people of innovation. But those other people, because of their ignorance, yani due to their ignorance, they see that which is contrary to their whims and to that which they have been nurtured upon of deviation, and they consider it, yani warning against deviation and the people of deviation, to be contrary to Islam and inconsistent with taqwa. And I refer you, O my son, by Allah, I am sincerely truthful to you, and I love for you good, and I refer you to penetrate through these obstacles of the methodology, these obstacles too that prevent you from the methodology of the Salaf. I point you, I refer you to that you penetrate through these obstacles, the obstacles that prevent you from reaching the methodology of the Salaf. I refer you to the books of Jarh wa Ta'dil, censure and praise, so that you may see that the people of taqwa and the leaders of the people of taqwa, and they are those who fulfilled, and they are those who fulfilled this obligation, yani the obligation of warning against innovation and the people of innovation. When Hisham ibn Abdul Malik killed two of the people of innovation, from amongst them Al-Ja'ad ibn Dirham, Hisham was regretful, yani they made him regret what he had done. So one of the scholars wrote to him and said to him, by Allah, the killing of those people was better than the killing of 2,000 Persians and Romans, meaning the disbelievers, because this one corrupts the children of the Muslims and squanders our main assets. Meaning, fighting the Turks and Romans is a profit, but this is our main asset, squandered. The people of innovation squander it, yani corruption and deviation and misguidance of the youth. Because of this, the Salaf said, and many from amongst them said so, indeed, the people of innovation are more harmful to Islam than the external enemies. Why is this? Because this one damages from within, and after that opens the door for the enemy, saying to him, come in. When the Sufis and the people of innovation and misguidance ruined the Islamic world, and colonization arrived and took hold of it, they found it to be a ready morsel. And when the Tartars came, they found the Muslims to be a ready morsel. Why? Because innovation had pulverized them and crushed them completely. It did not make them deserving of the help of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So those who are advancing, yani the enemies of the Muslims who are advancing upon them slowly, yani those who were advancing slowly upon them arrived, yani and took over the Muslim lands and colonized the Muslims. I say the masjid, and this is near the end of this answer. I say the masjid of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, its size during his era did not equal one part of 50 parts. Yani didn't equal 1/50th of the size of the masjid that is present now. And the companions, those companions who came from that small masjid, that few number of people conquered the entire world. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that, which means Al-Madina is a village that will consume the villages, yani of the earth, of the world, reported by Bukhari and Muslim from Abu Hurairah. This village and this small masjid, during the time of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and during the time of the companions radiallahu anhum ajma'in, they conquered the whole world. And now we have millions of masajid, which are full and packed with people praying. But where are they? Yani, what have they accomplished? What have they achieved? They are froth, like the froth on top of the flood waters. Why? Because innovation and misguidance have pulverized them. So if you want men, and if you want a nation, and if you want an Islamic state, then you must educate and refute the people of innovation until they will be purified for you from among the Muslims. People of the Sunnah and people of truth. Yani, until they will be people of the Sunnah and people of the truth, deserving the help of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala and deserving of paradise, whose width is that of the heavens and the earth. And by Allah, He did not prepare it. Yani, the paradise whose width is like the heavens and the earth. By Allah, He did not prepare it for the people of innovation and the people of misguidance by any means. Yani, the essence of what the Shaykh is saying here is that it is incumbent upon us to take this matter seriously, no matter what the people say. That refuting the people of innovation and their innovations, clarifying their errors and their mistakes, making it known to the Muslims, especially to the youth, but rather to all the Muslims, making these matters clear, warning people against the people of deviation and their deviations, is critical for the protection of the Muslims and protection of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the time remaining, I'd like to take some of the other, the shorter questions, and we'll start with question number 6, because again it is related directly to the topic. Question number 6, do you have a word of guidance encouraging the youth to be merciful to each other and to love and have sympathy and to cooperate upon righteousness and piety and upon the Book of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and upon the methodology of the Salaf and turning to the scholars and the people of knowledge? And a word of guidance encouraging the youth, yani, to correct their behavior, to be merciful with one another, and to have love and sympathy for one another, and cooperate with one another, based on taqwa and upon the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the methodology of the Salaf, and turning to the scholars and the people of knowledge. The Shaykh says, good words, and this is a great aspiration, yani, something to aspire towards, something that we have hope of achieving. Yani, that the young people and the Muslims in general, but especially the young people, come together and be merciful to one another and show love and sympathy for one another and cooperate with one another upon the Quran and Sunnah and the way of the Salaf. We hope that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala makes this happen and that the youth help themselves and their brothers to realize this good aspiration with the hope that they all become one ummah, holding firm to the Book of Allah and His guidance, clinging to His guidance, following their greatest example, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in creed, aqidah, and in methodology, manhaj, and manners, in character and manners, and that they work hard to achieve this noble objective, which Islam orders, and Islam calls to and praises the one who attains it. As Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala said in Surah Ali Imran, 3rd Surah, 103rd ayat, وَاتَصِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا وَاذْكُرُوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ إِذْ كُنْتُمْ أَعْدَاءً فَأَلَّفَ بَيْنَ قُلُوبِكُمْ فَأَصْبَحْتُمْ بِنِعْمَتِهِ إِخْوَانًا وَكُنْتُمْ عَلَى شَفَا حُفْرَةٍ مِنَ النَّارِ فَأَنْقَذَكُمْ مِنْهَا كَذَلِكَ يُبَيِّنُ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ آيَاتِهِ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَهْتَدُونَ. And hold fast, yani, the meaning of which, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is commanding to hold fast, all of you together, to the rope of Allah, that is the Quran and the Sunnah and the Deen of Allah, and be not divided among yourselves. And this is a command from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to hold fast to the rope of Allah, and a prohibition from being divided, a command and a prohibition. Hold fast to the rope of Allah and be not divided among yourselves, and remember Allah's favor upon you. Yani, that it was a ni'mah from Allah that you were enemies one to another, but He joined your hearts together, so that by His favor, yani, by the ni'mah of Allah, by the grace of Allah, you became brothers in Islamic faith. and you were on the brink of a pit of fire, and He saved you from it. Thus Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes His ayat clear to you that you may be guided. Yani, this ayat, the essential points of this ayat is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is commanding us to be together, to unite and hold fast to the rope of Allah, to unite upon the book of Allah and the sunnah and the deen of Islam, and to not be divided, and to remember that it is a favor from Allah. The brotherhood of Islam is a favor of Allah. Remember that you are enemies, and Allah, by His favor, joined your hearts together so you became brothers. So this is a favor from Allah, the brotherhood of Islam, and we should appreciate it and be grateful for it, and we should work towards yani making it what it's supposed to be. Meaning this brotherhood is a blessing from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. They were enemies killing each other and taking each other captive, and between them were such evils and trials which only Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala knows. Then Allah brought Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with this Quran. So Allah guided with him the people. Allah guided through him the people with the book and with this messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the hearts came together upon this guidance and this messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So they became, due to that, or they became with this, they became brothers. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in another place in the Quran, Surah Al-Anfal, 8th Surah and 63rd Ayat, وَأَلَّفَ بَيْنَ قُلُوبِهِمْ. Yani Allah joined their hearts together. لَوْ أَنْفَقْتَ مَا فِي الْأَرْضِ جَمِيعًا مَا أَلَّفْتَ بَيْنَ قُلُوبِهِمْ. And if you had spent all that is in the earth, all of it, all of the wealth in the earth, you could not have joined their hearts together. وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ أَلَّفَ بَيْنَهُمْ إِنَّهُ عَزِيزٌ حَكِيمٌ. But it is Allah who joined their hearts together. Indeed, He is the Almighty, the All-Wise. And Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala praised them, saying about the Ansar, وَيُؤْثِرُونَ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ وَلَوْ كَانَ بِهِمْ خَصَاصًا. Yani, and they gave the Muhajirun, those who migrated from Mecca to Medina, the Ansar, the people of Medina, they gave preference to those who migrated. They gave preference to the immigrants over themselves, even though they were in need of that which they gave to them. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَنْ يُوقَ شُحَّ نَفْسِهِ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. And whosoever is saved from his own covetedness, yani from his own stinginess or greed, then these are those who will be successful. And the Shaykh asks, what made them give others preference over themselves, other than lofty manners and brotherhood? Yani, except high moral principles and the brotherhood, the real brotherhood that existed between them. And that love which took root in themselves, such that it caused a man from amongst them to prefer his brother over his own self, and to present to him of his wealth that which he was in the greatest need of. Rather, he was in dire need of it, but he gave preference to his brother. He gave, yani, the wealth that he had, the little that he had, whatever he had, he gave it to his brother. He gave preference to him over himself. And that was for no other reason than that the brotherhood of Islam had struck its roots into the depth of their souls and established itself within them. It spurred them on to the likes of this exceptional behavior, which we hope will return to the ranks of the Muslims and to the societies of the Muslims. And the Prophet ﷺ said that which means the similitude or the likeness of the believers in regard to mutual love and affection and fellow feeling is that of one body. Yani, the believers are like one body. When any limb of it aches, the whole body aches because of sleeplessness and fever. And this hadith is reported by Muslim. So this state of affairs is what Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala wants. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala wants it from the Muslims that they should be like one body, like a solid structure supporting each other. This is what Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala wants. And the guidance of the Quran and the prophetic sunnah, all of it results in the likes of this. Yani, applying the Quran and sunnah leads to this condition of brotherhood, of oneness, of feeling for one's brother, whatever hurts them, hurts you. if it had benefited all of this, yani the applying the guidance of the Quran and Sunnah, it results in the likes of this. However, we don't take benefit, yani we have not applied it. If we had benefited and devoted ourselves with desire and passion to these instructions, holding on to them and implementing them, this would have come about. Yani this condition of brotherhood that we found amongst the companions of the Prophet ﷺ, we will find it amongst the Muslims today. It is not impossible. It is not impossible. But the will is weak. If this ability and firm will was present, after the assistance of Allah, the help of Allah, the desired thing would have been achieved. However, the ability is present, but the firm determination is not. The firm determination to achieve these objectives to which our great Rabb guides us and His noble Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam guides us to. And this, yani achieving this, it is very easy. Rather, there are men who definitely have the firm determination to achieve this. Yani there are some, and we are trying to unify our sources into one source, the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in our creed and in our methodology and in everything. Everyone should make a firm determination to achieve this and work hard to achieve this aspiration. Yani that's mentioned in the beginning of this question of the young people and the Muslims in general, yani being merciful to one another and being kind to one another and supporting and aiding and helping one another and working together upon the Quran and the Sunnah and the methodology of the Salaf. Yani we should all be working hard to achieve this aspiration. But so and so, unfortunately, so and so has an ideology other than that which is upon the Sunnah. And he has a methodology, yani, other than that which is upon the Quran and Sunnah. And he has a principle, yani, that he is acting upon that's other than based upon the Quran and the Sunnah. So these sources keep us back and take us far from the desired objective. And we will fall into the loss that we are currently living in. So we would not seek the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam together. Yani we would not, as Allah commanded us, وَاعْتَصِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا, we would not stick together, all together, based upon the Quran and the Sunnah. And make it, yani we would not, yani seek the Book and the Sunnah together and make it a source for us all, yani one source that we all rely upon and act upon, such that we drink from this good, yani all together, and this light and guidance, so that this desired, obligatory, compulsory matter is achieved. We ask Allah tabarak wa ta'ala to help the youth, and I say the Muslims in general, but especially our hope is in the youth, na'am, because the old people are finished. We ask Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, most of them, alhamdulillah, still few left. We ask Allah tabarak wa ta'ala to help the youth to pursue this objective and to work hard to achieve it. Indeed, our Rabb is all hearing of supplication. Naam. And we'll stop here, inshallah. Now, this is all that we can cover. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. And we will continue, inshallah, on Monday, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, with the next book, yani the causes of salvation of the Ummah, by Shaykh Salih al-Fawzan. Hafidhahullah, may Allah protect and preserve him. Any question or any comment about what we discussed this morning? No.
It's a two-part question. Related to one another.
No.
Is it for like the layman, the general Muslim, to deem others to be innovators, or is it for like only people of knowledge? That's the first part. The second part says there's a principle. I don't know if it's from Ahlul Ilm, but I definitely heard it from like general people.
No.
Confirm it. And they say that man lam yubaddi' shakhsan fa huwa mubtadi'. So whoever doesn't deem an innovator to be an innovator, that he himself is going to be an innovator. So that's the second part. Is that principle true or have any basis in some way?
The second part of the question I'll reserve because I'm not really sure the source of the principle, and it's a little bit specific. Although there's some possible basis for it, for sure. But anyway, I'll reserve comment on the second part of the question. Except to say that there's no doubt that it is obligatory upon a Muslim to recognize the truth when it is brought to them, and likewise to recognize falsehood and deviation. Yani, we don't have a right when it is clear that something is deviation to reject it. In the same way, I mean, to reject it as deviation, to not acknowledge that it is deviation. In the same way that we don't have a right to, when the truth comes to us and it is made clear to us, we don't have a right to reject it as truth. Yani, it is incumbent upon the person who it is made clear to them that this is the truth, to accept it as truth. And if the falsehood is made clear to them, to accept it as falsehood. There's no doubt. But in terms of the full meaning of the principle, Allahu A'lam, I'll reserve comment on that. But as far as the first part of the question, declaring people to be innovators certainly is the responsibility of the people of knowledge. And it's not the responsibility of every person from the common people to determine on their own, with their limited knowledge, that this person is somebody from the people of deviation or innovation, and this person, and such and so on. So based on the limited knowledge of the common people. Otherwise, if this door was opened, then we will see a worse fitna than we see today. Because today we find that actually from the common people, or from some people who are identified as students of knowledge, taking on this responsibility and declaring, almost leaving no one out from declaring them to be the people of deviation. Okay, so we know for sure that the declaration, of who is a kafir or who is a person from the people of innovation should be from the scholars, from the people of knowledge, because this kind of classification requires knowledge. It requires careful examination and proper weighing of the matter, so that for sure this is not something that every common man should engage in, that every brother should decide on their own when they hear something from somebody or they see something, they declare this person to be from Ahlul Bid'ah. In fact, there's no doubt that the reality is it may be that a person is not from Ahlul Bid'ah even though they might make a statement that is a statement of innovation, or they might engage in some behavior that might be from the behavior of the Ahl Bidah. They might perform an act of worship that is in accordance with the ways of innovation. But that doesn't mean that a person is from the Ahl Bidah because they have made a statement or they have put, they have engaged in some action or something that may be from the ways of the people of innovation. But rather, we have to look at the usul, the foundation. If a person is upon the sunnah, but they err in some matter, in something that they have said or done, then that doesn't make them to be from the people of innovation. And this is the mistake that the people who do not have proper knowledge, and the common masses of the people commonly engage in, that they see something, or they hear something, or they come to know about something, and then they declare a person without proper examination and evaluation and considering the whole affair, and then they declare somebody to be a kafir, or they declare somebody to be a fasiq, or they declare somebody to be mubtadi', and really, they are in error in doing so, and they don't have the right to do so. So it's not something for the common people to classify people and to declare somebody to be, a kafir, to go out of Islam, or to be a innovator without proper knowledge. So this is really the responsibility of the people of knowledge, the people who have the ability to really examine the situation and make a proper determination. And if a person sees something, then the best that they can do is advise those people. If they think that somebody is in error, then they should advise them. But we shouldn't yani engage in the behavior of just making declarations based on yani something, some action or some statement that we have seen or heard from someone without really having proper knowledge and without yani the whole situation being weighed and the person being examined. And we know that, for example, in takfir, yani the scholars of the Sunnah say that there are conditions or shurut and there are prohibitive factors, mawaniya, that have to be considered before the scholars, the people of knowledge, declare somebody to be a kafir. So a person might make a statement of kufr, or they might engage in some act that is an act of kufr, but it doesn't mean that anyone has the right to declare them to be kafirs, but rather the conditions, the shurut, should be fulfilled first, and the mawaniya should be clear that these are absent before such a declaration could be made. And the people of knowledge are the people who know how to do this, and not the common people. So the common people should avoid this, and busy ourselves, with our own selves. We have enough errors and shortcomings and defects within ourselves to keep us busy. And if people would occupy themselves with their own selves and their faults and their own errors and weaknesses, then we would find better people amongst us. Because if a person is occupied with correcting their self, they might get better. And if everybody was occupied with their self, we would all get better. And this would improve our situation tremendously. And Allah knows best. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayka.